Amen. Thank God for His Word. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad you're here today and that you made time to come out and be here with us to worship the Lord. Amen. But most of all, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is here. He has showed us His power in this place. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let's lift up a praise to the Lord right now. God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you would stand with me, if you're not already standing, we'd like to stand for the reading of the Word of God out of respect and honor for the Word. Amen. And turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark 8, 36. This one question Jesus asked, and then I'll let you be seated. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" We've heard this question many times in the house of the Lord, but it's important for us today. Amen. I might show you a little bit of a different way to say the same thing. Amen. Today, but it's going to be a powerful question that you're going to need to answer. You're going to need to answer this question today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, have your way. God, give us, Lord Jesus, your word today. Give us anointing, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gathering together of your people today, Lord God, to honor you, to hear your word, Lord Jesus. Help me to proclaim the truth today. Amen. In this house, in Jesus' name, and help us to hear it, Lord God, and receive it, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Amen. This question is so, so important. And I got to thinking, and I was trying to come up with different ways to say this and different ways to ask this question. But just simply reading the scriptures, it helps you get this picture and this context of what this question asks us. And it gives us so many different examples of how people put everything into God and how that their life was on fire for God and it gave glory and honor to God and that they gave all to Jesus. And they gave all to what God wanted to do in their lives. And they were successful. And they became righteous. Amen. We have so many. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you can go down the list. But just as many examples of success, there were also some examples of failure. And so, even though The people that the characters and the people that I'm going to talk to you about today had great things that they did for the Lord and how that they had a great kingdom and how they had a great blessing from God, even saw God. Amen. God visited them and gave them a word, how that their life became like a sandcastle. That's my title today, Sandcastles. I want to start by reading a portion of this poem that you may have heard before, but it's by Charles Thomas Studd, and it's called "Only One Life Twill Soon Be Past." You might have heard this before, but it says, "Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart." Here are the two lines. "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet, and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave, and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There was an extra stanza in this poem that said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my light, if the lamp of my life has been burned out for Thee. If I take and expend all of my energy for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I take all of my time and all of my resources and all of my treasure. Amen. If I put it in Jesus, it will last. But if I put it into this world, it will decay, it will rust, it will be destroyed. Amen. It's a simple premise. It's a simple thing that I'm trying to preach to you today. But only the kingdom of Jesus will last. Only the kingdom of Jesus will last. I want to go back and talk a little bit about the kingdom of David and the kingdom of Solomon. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. We'll start at verse 13. But just to set up this picture, David, and we've heard this before, but David was sitting in his house. He said, I have a house of cedar. And he's looking out over the hills, and he sees the ruddy, badger skin covered tabernacle of God. It's just a tent, he says. And his heart was pricked. He said, I dwell in a house of cedar. Here I am sitting up on my hill in my palace. But the Lord dwells in a tent. And that's where the Lord meets His people. David had a problem with that. That there was a representation of the house of God that was much smaller than his great big palace. And so David had that desire. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan comes, and at first he says, do all the will of the Lord. And then he leaves. Nathan leaves, and God talks to Nathan and says, go back and tell David that because of the wars and because of the blood that's on your hands, you're not going to be able to build this kingdom or this temple to the Lord. But he gives David a promise. And this promise is a covenant with David for an everlasting kingdom. Right here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You're not going to build the kingdom, David. You're not going to be the one that establishes it, but it's going to be your son. But then the scripture and the word that came by prophecy by Nathan changes, and it gets much, much bigger than just David's immediate son. Solomon was not it. Solomon was not what God was talking about here. But he says in verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. We know that Solomon's kingdom and that all that he had was taken away from him. And I've was wondering why. Why didn't Solomon become the continuation of this prophecy? And why wasn't he acceptable or suitable for the Lord? Because Solomon did some amazing things. Solomon, surely, we heard about it at Winter Fire. Queen of Sheba came down and visited him and just was amazed and just marveled at all that was done in the kingdom of Solomon, how even the servants were happy and even everything was weighted on hand and foot and the beauty of the kingdom. And she said, the half has not been told of all of your kingdom. It was an amazing, powerful kingdom, the like which the earth had never seen. In fact, the Bible says, describing Solomon, that there was none wiser in all the world than Solomon. And there was none more rich than Solomon in all of his wealth. Amazing kingdom. If we were to see something like this today, it would put to shame all of the princes of Saudi Arabia. It would put to shame all the monarchies of Britain and every kingdom that has been seen ever since. Nothing could compare to the kingdom of Solomon and all of its glory. Amen. But only what we do for Jesus will last. See, David charged Solomon with this task, this most important task of building a house for God. Amen. And it's there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Amen. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." That's good advice from a dad to a son. Amen. Serve God with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. More than your wisdom, Solomon, serve God with a willing mind. Amen. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Amen. I want to tell you today, if you will seek the Lord with your whole heart and with your whole mind, if you will seek the Lord with all of your strength, amen, he's waiting. He's waiting for the moment that you just call on his name. He's waiting for the moment that you will turn your life into his hands. Amen. And establish you and help you to grow. Amen. And help bless you. Amen. Forever. Praise the Lord in his kingdom. Hallelujah. But if you reject Jesus Christ, when he presents himself and his grace to you, amen, he will in that day of judgment, he will be ashamed of you. Amen. He won't know your name. He won't be able to bring you into the kingdom that's everlasting. He won't be able to say, "Well done, now good and faithful servant." Don't reject the Lord. Amen. He shows himself kind and strong to every one of us. Amen. He extends his grace and his mercy and his truth to every one of us. Amen. When he comes to you, don't reject him. Don't try to push him away. Amen. But here, David gives a charge. And he says in verse 10, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary." And he gives simple instructions. Be strong and do it. Amen. How many knows that when God called you and filled you with his Spirit, when he washed away your sins, when he forgave you of all that you had done, amen, he established you as the temple of the Most High God. You became a vessel of the kingdom of God. Amen. And to build the kingdom of God, You don't belong to yourself anymore. Amen. But you are bought with a price. Amen. God gave His precious life. He shed His precious blood for you. Amen. We're not called to build up our own kingdom, but we're called to build up the kingdom of God forever. Amen. Somebody give God praise. I want to build up the kingdom of the Lord. I want to be a house of God. I want to be a temple of the Most High. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Not only did David tell Solomon to build that temple, but David's entire life from that point on was poured into Solomon. And he did everything he could to pave the way for Solomon to build the house of the Lord. Amen. See, Solomon didn't come up with the plans for the temple. Solomon didn't come up with the resources for the temple. Solomon didn't fight the battles, amen, that were necessary to secure peace for the temple. It was David that did all of that. Amen. David gave Solomon the design for the temple. First Chronicles, amen, this is just one verse later here, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of all the treasuries of the house of God. And of the treasuries of the dedicated things. See, I always thought to give credit to Solomon for the plan and for the glorious temple that he built. See, Solomon built this temple and they put the name of Solomon on the temple. They called it Solomon's temple. It was the sanctuary of Jehovah. It was the tabernacle of the Lord, and His name was on it, but all of a sudden Solomon got all the credit for this temple. And I thought, what's wrong with that? What's the deal with all that? That doesn't seem right. It seems that God would want His name to be there. That's what was prophesied, that the temple would be given the name of Jehovah. But Solomon didn't even come up with the plans. Those were given by the Spirit to David. Amen. Our Father also gave us a pattern. We are to build our lives and grow into the holy temple by the example that was given to us by Jesus. We are to build through Jesus. Everything we need is found in Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's His pattern. It's His plan. It's His strength. It's His power. It's His glory. And it's most of all, His love that builds us, that grows us. Amen. And it's for His glory. Amen. And then the pattern is given right here in Scripture. Verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. It's not me that's growing into my own kingdom or my own building or my own temple, because that's a sandcastle. Amen. I'm supposed to look to Jesus and all that Jesus did, and I'm supposed to try with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. Amen. To do what Jesus did and to be who Jesus was. Amen. To walk like Jesus walked. And to talk like Jesus talked. But listen, it's not just who Jesus is. Amen. But it's the life that He lived. Amen. If Jesus had not lived a holy and sinless life, and He had not accomplished, amen, all of the Word of God, we could not even attempt it. That's why I wrote that song, If It Had Not Been for Jesus. Amen. I'd have no example. I'd have no one to look to. I would have no proof that man could walk righteous before God in all points. Amen. So, but Jesus did not just give us the plan and the pattern and the example, but Jesus gave us His Spirit. You've got something more than a pattern. You've got something more than a plan. You've got the Spirit of the man who walked on earth, amen, and healed the sick and raised the dead, cast out demons. Amen. You have something that will help you do greater things than what He did. Hallelujah. So I can't get the credit. I can't get the credit, Brother Ryan, for any victory. I can't get the credit, Brother Tristan, for anything that I do. Because it's all not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. I think that's worthy of some praise today. Hallelujah. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I say it again. In all that Jesus did, He proved that God's will could be done by man. And then He gave us the power to do it with His Spirit that dwells in us. Amen. We become the household of God. We become the tabernacle of God. We become something that we could not be without Jesus. Amen. We become much more, amen, than what we could do in our own plans and in our own lives. Amen. If Jesus hadn't been able to be obedient to the Word of God during the days that He was Emmanuel, God with us, we would have no chance of being obedient to God's Word. At all. Amen. David didn't just give Solomon the pattern. But David secured the victory. He won peace. He established peace in the kingdoms. Amen. Around about him. David won all the victories. Amen. So that Solomon could focus on fulfilling his purpose. Solomon didn't have to waste time struggling from day to day and having a sword in one hand fighting the enemies of God and then having to build with the other hand. Amen. He just got to build. Amen. 1 Kings 5:2, it says, and Solomon sent to Hiram saying, thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord, his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Even Solomon knew. I'm sure when Solomon was growing up, he witnessed many of those battles, many of those victories that David, amen, slew his 10,000s. Amen. And we also have a Father that has secured victory for us. We don't fight. Amen. Brother Galen Thompson was at the men's retreat last year, and this is a quote from him. He said, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Amen. We fight from a position where God has already won the battle. The war is won. The war is over. The little skirmishes in your life, amen, although they seem like mighty battles, although they seem overwhelming at times, you must know this, child of God, that Jesus is the conqueror. Amen. He died never to die again. When He rose from the grave, He rose from the grave with victory over death and over hell and over the grave. Amen. We win. Amen. Romans 8:35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Somebody say, more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the victory. Amen. You can live in the sovereign peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though the devil may try to fight against us, amen, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus has already won the victory. Amen. Jesus has made me more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. We are victorious through Him. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up a shout of praise and a victory. Hallelujah. We're victorious through you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful that He provided victory for us. Amen. Hallelujah. David didn't just give Solomon peace and victory. Amen. He didn't just give him the pattern or the plan. David also gave Solomon all the materials that he needed to build that temple. It's there, right there in 1 Chronicles, the next chapter, number 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for the iron, things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones or glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. He provided everything that Solomon needed. You guessed it. Jesus provided everything you need. If you're going to build a house for God, don't try to take the rubble from your life. Don't try to take the sticks that you found on it. Like, we used to use old pallets when we were kids to build up castles and forts and stuff. Those pallets are broken, destroyed. Amen. Nobody else built forts as a kid. Amen. It's just me. Praise the Lord. Those things sometimes, I don't know, these days parents wouldn't even let their kids near those pallets, Brother Fred. You might get a nail. You might get tetanus or something. Amen. Plus, they weren't very sturdy pastor. They could fall on you at any time. Don't build with the rubble of your life. Don't build with the things of the past. Don't build with shoddy building materials. Don't build with man's wisdom. Don't build with philosophies. Amen. Build your life in Jesus. Amen. He's provided everything that you need. Everything you've ever needed. Amen. Is found in Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. If you look at all that material that Solomon used to build the house of God, amen, there were precious stones. Stones of vibrant colors and marble and stones that would have been that would have been carried many, many miles, and very expensive stones. But none of them can compare with the precious cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're not starting your building, and if you're not starting your life, amen, by that precious cornerstone, the building's a sandcastle. A wave of life will come. I've never not seen waves come to the ocean and wipe out the sandcastles that are built. Look at this. Put that picture up, brother. Look at this sandcastle. Somebody spent a lot of time building that sandcastle. It's ornate. It's unique. It's probably trademarked, the picture at least. Brother Marcus knows what I'm talking about. Amen. But I want you to think about all the kingdoms of the world. All the resources that have been set up, that have been brought together to build the kingdoms of man. They're sandcastles. If the kingdom of, if the empire of Rome didn't last, and I was listening to something this morning, they had found a record of Pilate's report to Tiberius Caesar. And I don't know if this is real. I got to do some more research on it. But even if it's a fiction, I agree with the premise. Right at the very start of Pilate's report to Tiberius, the Caesar that was in charge during the life of Jesus, Pilate says, I have a feeling, Tiberius, that this man is going to change Rome forever. He knew it. If you read the account in Scripture, Pilate knew something was, the writing was on the wall. Rome was coming to a close. He knew that that great empire and all the empires that had ever been had to crumble like a sandcastle before Jesus Christ and before His kingdom. So I ask you today, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Are you so busy building up your own house that you've neglected being part of the house of God and of the kingdom of God? God is doing something amazing here at Apostolic Lighthouse. We see the kingdom of God being built up. We see it increasing. We see different conferences, the end times conference coming. Amen. I don't think there's been anything like this in the region for a long time, if ever. But we see God's kingdom progressing. Are you going to be a part? Are you going to be a lively stone in the house of God? Or are you going to try to build up your own kingdom? It's not going to last. Don't build sandcastles, my friend. Build something that will last. Amen. Get part of the kingdom of God. Become part of the kingdom of God. Amen. And let God Let God build your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to jump down here to something, and I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. But here, I noticed one thing in reading about Solomon and his kingdom, and in reading about how he built up the kingdom of God. And I want to point this out. It's interesting to me that it took Solomon longer to build his own house than it took him to build the house of God. It's very, very interesting to me. When I read that, I thought about the priorities that he must have had. And I double-checked the dimensions, Pastor. When I read this, I had to do a double take of the Scriptures. Anybody done that where you're reading in the Scriptures and you see something and notice something and it makes you go back and look? I noticed something that compared to the house of God, Solomon's house was much bigger. Much bigger. It was an example to the house of Solomon and to his children and to the people of the kingdom. I truly believe that this part is significant in what happened to Solomon and how he didn't continue to build his life by those principles and guidelines and all the good things, all that good advice that his father gave him. But look here in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37. It says, in the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month of Zith. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So was he 7 years in building it. And the chapter comes to an end. Say, wow. We look at the number 7. That's like a divine number. He took 7 years to build. 7 years to build the house of God. What a project. Amen. That's amazing. And if you read about all that he put into it and all the sacrifices and everything that he put into it, you would see that there was a lot that went into it. But I want you to look at chapter 7, verse 1. But, there's a conjunction to start the chapter. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years. And he finished all his house. And the next verse, he built also the house of the Forest of Lebanon. It took him a whole forest to build his house, his palace. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof was 30 cubits upon the four rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. So 150 cubits by 50 cubits. Amazing. So that made me back up. Wait, he took 13 years to build his own house, 7 years to build the house of the Lord. I wonder how much bigger his house is compared to the house of the Lord. So if you back up to the chapter before, verse 2, 6-2, and the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits. That's only 60. And the breadth thereof 20 cubits. And the height thereof, 30 cubits. 60 by 20 versus 100 by 50. Your teacher told you you'd never do math outside of school, right? But I kind of like doing math. So, all right. So a cubit's about 18 inches long. And how they know this is they compared the archaeological finds and buildings, and they took the record that was said, you know, this is 100 cubits, and then they measured it. They came up with about 18 inches. So each cubit, which was supposed to be from the elbow to the tip of a man's arm, and it was a standard measurement of about 18 inches, that makes the house of God about 90 feet by 30 feet. So about 2,700 square feet. That's just a little bit bigger than my house. Maybe 1,000 feet more in square footage. I don't know what the square footage of this room is, but it's about that size. Amen? But Solomon's house, listen, it was 150 feet by 75 feet. The difference in the square footage is stark. It's 11,250 square feet versus 2,700 square feet. Solomon went and built his house four times bigger than the house of God. And the Lord spoke to me and said, God, I don't want to build my own house bigger and make the same mistake that Solomon did. It's so strange to me because it was David's house being bigger than the tent, the tabernacle, that caused David to long after building a house for God. And he gave all that was needed. There was not a thing that Solomon had to do, any effort that all he had to do was be strong and build it. But when it came to the house of Solomon, it dwarfed the house of God. And he basically put God in the same position that David had God in. His house was much smaller. So besides that huge difference, there's one other thing that stood out to me that was in the middle of that grand description of Solomon's house. He had made another house for his worldly Egyptian queen. It's right there, chapter 7, verse 8. And his house where he dwelt had another court within the porch, which was of like work. Solomon made also an house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife, like unto this porch. Can I say that if you stay connected to even one thing from the world, if you stay married to even one thing from the world, eventually it will consume you and take you away from God? Sandcastles. If you keep building your own house with just one, I just want this one queen from Egypt. I just want this one. And those who are Bible scholars know that that's not where it stopped. By the end of the life of Solomon, he had 700 wives and concubines. 700. And for each and every one of his wives and their gods, he began to build houses, high places. I'd read it to you, but we're coming to a close. You can look there in 1 Kings chapter 11. It's a tragedy that Solomon had everything he needed. Every possible thing. And he gave it all to the world. And God cut off his kingdom. And it was given to his servant. Amen. It caused a divide in the kingdom of God. It caused a great divide. And Solomon was the last king to ever serve over a united Israel. Amen. So the ramifications of building up your own house in and of yourself, greater than the house of God, and making your priority to build up your own house greater than the house of God. Amen. I got to say this to you because I love you. But why do you miss prayer meeting? I'm not even going to look at nobody. Why do you miss Bible study, saint of God? Why, when you get an opportunity to come and sit and learn at the feet of Jesus and partake in elements class, which we heard these great testimonies of lives being changed, why do you neglect to grow in the house of God? I mean that with all gravity. I mean that because I love you. I mean that because it's God's purpose and plan for you to be built up and established in the house of God forever. It is not God's plan for you to go your own way and be destroyed. Amen. I wonder if somebody would stand to their feet right now and say, I want to build up the kingdom of God in my life. I want to build up the house of the Lord in my life. I want my life to be established in God forever. Amen. This is not about me. It's not about my name. It's not about my reputation. It's not about me accumulating wealth or fame or anything. But God, use me, Jesus, in your kingdom, God. Use me, Lord Jesus, in your kingdom forever. Oh, hallelujah. The castles that we build ourselves, they're only sand castles. Only one house will stand. Only one house will last. And it's the household of faith. It's the great kingdom of our God. It's the kingdom that will never pass away, but it will last forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. You might be here today and think, well, what do I have to do? What do I need to do to be part of this great kingdom of God? What can I do today? And if you've already experienced the new birth, the gospel, I would ask you to renew it and to restore it in your life. They asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts 2:37, what shall we do? I'm the kind of man that you ask me to do something, or you call me to a charge, or you give me a task, and I say, what's the next step? What do I need to do? And the answer is here, right here on the wall behind me. If you want to be in part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, you got to follow the King. You've got to follow the King. And the King, King Jesus, He was crucified. He took up a cross. He drug it up that hill, Calvary. And He was nailed to that cross. And He died. He was crucified for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You have the ability today to come to God. He's given you everything you need. And repent of your sins. Repent, cry out to God. Even if it's been a while. Even if it's just something I need to renew in God. I need to make sure that I'm not building a house made of sand, but I'm building with something that will last forever. You can repent today of your sins. And Jesus promises that He's faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can be baptized in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And have your sins paid for. Amen. Never to be remembered again. Hallelujah. And God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's given us a pattern. He's given us a plan. He's made us more than conquerors. He's given us everything we need. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This altar is open right now. Come all together. Come to the Lord.